You're listening to Dr. Radio Reports, COVID-19 pandemic, what you need to know right now. I'm the medical director of Dr. Radio, Dr. Mark Siegel, professor of medicine here at NYU Langone Health. Great pleasure to be joined by a top orthopedist, Dr. Randall Troop. He's an orthopedic and sports medicine surgeon in Plano, Texas. He's the head team physician for the Frisco Rough Riders, which is now shut down, the AA affiliate of the Texas Rangers. He's an orthopedics consultant with the Rangers, who are playing but without fans. Give us a call at 1-877-698-3627. That's 1-877-698-3627, or email us at docs@siriusxm.com. Stacy in New York, welcome to Dr. Radio Reports.
I'm calling. I have ITP, and I've had it since I've been 18. I had my spleen removed. I actually had it removed at NYU back in 1986. And I'm worried about the coronavirus, and I want to know if I able to get it. I feel like I'd probably wind up with a cytokine storm. And how do you think that I would? How do you think it would wind up for me?
How old are you, Stacy?
Right now, I'm 54.
Well, I mean, I think that's jumping the gun with a cytokine storm. We don't know. I mean, that the highest risk factors we're seeing are in obese patients and patients with diabetes and patients over the age of 70. And most of your function from the spleen, that's an important factor. But we don't know exactly what immune response works with COVID exactly. I mean, we know it's a combination of T-cell and antibody function. So it's certainly worth being concerned about that, but I wouldn't jump to thinking you would necessarily get a severe case. Of course, you want to be protected. Dr. Troop, what if you were going to operate on a person without a spleen in this situation?
Well, if it's unless it's an emergency, we would definitely recommend waiting to hold on that. Anybody, recommendations right now, anybody with a health condition, diabetes, heart disease, any type of thing that would put them at a risk, increased risk, we're holding them off of any elective surgery. Now, if it's a trauma, if it's a fracture, something like that, then we has to be done, and we would go with precautions. We'd go with testing what we could, and we would do the universal precautions that we've been doing now, the N95 mask that we're using, the protective wear that we use in the OR. But again, I would try to hold off on any surgery that's elective until this crisis is under better control.
And Stacy, I would also check in with your hematologist on this exact question, but overall, I don't see it that puts you in a higher risk group for severe complications. I think it puts you in a higher risk group overall because of COVID and the immune system. But I would make sure you ask also your hematologist that. Thanks for the call. Can you, Dr. Troop, talk a little bit about, walk us through what it's like for you now. You get up in the morning, you do what? What is your practice like now in the hot spot of Dallas and vicinity? What's your practice?
Well, I'd say our patient population is down. I mean, as I said, I was probably seeing 50 to 60 patients a day. Now we're probably back, once we've reopened, as I said, we furloughed for about a month, and then we started ramping back up again. I'm probably back now seeing about 40 patients a day. So our patient load is decreased still. And then we still have patients that are, you know, worried about whether they want to have surgery or not during this time. And those patients obviously are holding back, so our surgery load is decreased. Also, with the surgeries, they're taking us longer to do because of the precautions that we're having to take. Basically, the patients that get put to sleep, now we have to wait a period of time after they've been intubated. Usually they'll have us wait 14 to 15 minutes to let room exchange take place. We operate in our N95 mask, and then basically after the surgery, after they're extubated, they're also stay in the room for a time, again, for room cleaning and room filtration. So it's added length to our surgery days as well. The same amount of surgeries add maybe 40 to 60 minutes per case. So both decreased patients and also obviously less people are playing sports right now. There's less high school sports, there's less professional sports, so we're not seeing those active sports patients come into the office right now because they're just not playing.
Are there any sports that kids can play safely right now?
Well,
maybe cricket.
What's that? Yeah, they started playing soccer again. They started playing soccer again, and again, they're trying to as much social distance as possible, but again, they're, you know, the patients are around each other. I think baseball is a, you know, again, the players are a little bit separated, so that's that's a little bit easier to do. But, you know, they're really trying to decide right now about sports like football, where there's direct contact and you're right in each other's face the whole time. Same way with basketball, there's close person-to-person contact. So there are difficult decisions to be made about this.
Let's go to the phones and the emails. Email from Kristen. I'm an athletic trainer in only my second year of practice. I work primarily with junior high school and high school students. With most illness and injuries, we have a specific return to play protocol that athletes go through after being cleared by a physician. However, because we don't know about the long-term cardiovascular effects of COVID-19, we are having a difficult time determining what we should do when we have a student athlete test positive. Any advice?
Right now we're still waiting on definite advice from the cardiovascular standpoint. I mean, right now, basically, when a patient is testing positive, we're having them wait. As I said, Major League Baseball, they're right now having them wait until they test negative, and then they're asymptomatic for a minimum of 72 hours before they'll let them come back to play. So they're going by both negative testing and by symptoms at this point in time. But again, I don't think anybody's for sure about what the long-term cardiovascular of COVID right now, since it's such a new disease.
You're listening to Dr. Radio Reports, the COVID-19 pandemic, what you need to know right now. I'm Dr. Mark Siegel, medical director of Dr. Radio. I'm joined by Dr. Randall Troop, who's an orthopedic and sports medicine surgeon in Plano, Texas. He's got a great reputation down there. He's head team physician for the Frisco Rough Riders, AA affiliate of the Texas Rangers. They're now stalled and paused because of the COVID-19 pandemic. He's an orthopedic consultant for the Rangers themselves, who are actually playing without fans starting last night. They got a lot of competition with the Yankees this year, though. The Yankees picked up an incredible new pitcher, as you know. Give us a call at 1-877-698-3627. That's 1-877-698-3627. Or email us at docs@SiriusXM.com. We have another interesting email, Randy, from Fern. How much distance should I create when walkers, joggers, or bikers overtake me, or we pass one another on an outdoor path? Assume no one is masked. How much distance should I create?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, outside we're seeing less problems with that, because especially if it's on a windy day or if you're biking and the wind is blowing there. So we're not seeing people that are worried about that as much. But I think for walkers, I think still the safe the 6 feet distance should be observed.
Here's an interesting question from our program director, Beth Amin. Has there been an increase in severity in emergency orthopedic cases due to reluctance of people to come to the hospitals during the outbreak? Have you seen this delay in the same way we saw it in New York? In New York, we saw that. Like somebody that really needs a hip replacement, a knee replacement, doesn't want to come in right now. Maybe they shouldn't come in right now. What do you think, Randy?
Yes, I mean, definitely we're seeing delays for sure of people that are, especially, let's say, a hip replacement's a good example, or knee replacement. That's usually in a more elderly population, and those are the ones that are hearing, and rightly so, that they're at an increased risk. So they are staying away. There's no doubt about that, and just living with the pain. As far as the traumatic ones, we're still seeing those because, you know, if you break your femur, you've still got to come in to be seen. But it's the more elective injuries that people say, I'm just going to sit on the sidelines and wait a little bit until this clears up.
Let's go to the phones. Ken from Texas, welcome to Dr. Radio Reports.
Thank you for taking my call. Bit of a story here. Back in January, before the outbreak was well known, I took a trip to the Caribbean, and on my way in, I picked up my daughter out of Pearson International in Toronto. So I went through a total of 10 airports at the time. When I returned 2 days later, I came down with symptoms of COVID-19, which was cough, weakness, shortness of breath. Very strange for me. I typically don't miss work, but I actually needed to take a day off work. The doctor ran a flu test on me because she said, this really looks like a flu. So it came back negative. So then,
hey, Ken, we only have a minute or so left. Can you just ask us the question? Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt, but
bottom
we
line
only
is,
have a minute.
Yeah. I've had a negative antibody test, but I believe because I had slightly elevated lymphocytes. How do you test to see if T cells have been activated by your body and are fighting or have fought COVID?
So that's an excellent question, because we've seen people get better from COVID-19 that don't even have the ability to make antibodies. There's no question that T cells play a major role here. We cannot test them at this point in time, though. So I think it's reasonable that people have COVID-19 that think they don't or know they have it but can't prove it, and that they get better because of a T cell response. Thanks for the call. Quick email from Josh. When do you see youth sports returning? My daughter plays multiple sports. When will it be the same, or will changes be made? Quick thoughts on that. When is sports coming back, Dr. Troop?
Well, as I said, we're seeing in our local area, the soccer and baseball youth-wise has already started to come back a little bit, and they've started practicing with plans to start games up here within the next month. Whereas school is being a lot more cautious, and obviously that's controlled by the government, and they're still looking again about whether kids will be back in classes or not. And so if there's no classes, then will they continue with the sport? So I would say it's going to be really individualized, especially with high school, based on your state, what the governor say and what your local participalities say.
Do you think that exercising as a way to stay in a better mental and physical and immunological shape helps in the fight against COVID?
I mean, obviously I don't have any scientific data about that. It's so new, but yes, I think so. I think if you can keep active and stay physically fit, there's no doubt about that. That increases your immunity and helps you fight off any process. And even once you get it, being stronger obviously helps you fight the disease.
Do you have any thoughts on the best way to disinfect your operating room, you know, to make sure that there's no spread to staff, to nurses, to doctors, to among patients? How are you doing
well,
that?
We're basically, I'm not sure what chemicals they're using, but basically we're just doing a high flow clean on everybody after each case. We're assuming that every case has COVID, even though we're testing for them and they don't have it. You know, as you know, there's a chance that could be a false negative test. And so we're really scouring the ORs doubly more than we did beforehand to make sure that the next patient is safe to go in.
We only have about a minute left. How are you holding up psychologically in this, and how is your team holding up?
Well, I think for me, psychologically, since we've been back seeing patients, that's helped quite a bit. I think, as I said, I really feel for the minor league players, because, you know, they're just out for his whole season, and some of them could be their last season. I mean, some of them were trying to make the major leagues, and this is a stepping stone, and they have to wait a year to be seen. And there's just a pure financial behind it. I mean, basically, there's no paycheck for them for this year, and so they've had to go back and find, you know, other types of employment. And a lot of them had to leave the country to go back to their home countries because there's no baseball being played.
I want to thank my guest, Dr. Randall Troop. It's a sad story with sports medicine right now. He's an orthopedic and sports medicine surgeon in Plano, Texas, one of our hotspots right now in the United States. He's the head team physician for the Frisco Rough Riders, AA affiliate of the Texas Rangers, now on hiatus, and an orthopedic consultant with the Rangers, who are playing baseball but are never going to beat my Yankees this year, I'll tell you that, even
yeah,
if there's nobody in the stands. Dr. Troop, thank you so much for joining us. We'd like to have you back, and keep us posted on your practice, and keep up the good work and spirit.
Well, thanks, Mark, for having me. I appreciate you, all you do for us, and getting the information out to us all. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to thank Emily Anton, the Wizard of Oz, and behind the scenes, keeping us going. And Beth Amin, she's my spiritual advisor. She's our program director. Half of those questions come from her. Thank you, Beth. And stay safe in this pandemic. We're not anywhere near out of the woods. We're going into deeper woods. We will get out of it eventually. Stay safe. Keep your spirits up. We'll be back next week.